So I'll start by correcting some mess I did yesterday, and then get some questions, and then we move on. So the first blunder was about the Neumann type Green's functions. So the problem we want to solve is the Laplace equation, well, the Poisson equation with Neumann type boundary conditions, which fix the, instead of fixing the function phi at the boundary, they fix its normal derivative. So in this case, well, my notation is del s, nabla s equal the gradient, like the normal component of the gradient at the boundary. So the Green's function, as we saw, there is a relationship that f must satisfy to be compatible with rho. So from Gauss's law, which is nothing else than integration by parts, you find it by integrating nabla phi, well, this is the divergence of the gradient. So this becomes the flux. So if you look at this type of equation, so this is in R, this is in R, this is on the boundary, you find that there is a relationship between rho and phi, which says that minus 4 pi, the integral over R of rho, is equal to the integral on the boundary of f. So f must satisfy this equation for this boundary condition to make sense. Otherwise, there will be no solution. So this I said correctly. Where I did it wrong was when I was considering the Green's function for this problem. So the Green's function are essentially the same type of equation, but maybe I'll do it like this. Because here, otherwise, I mix it up with these y's. So it's the same type of equation, but for, oops, let's see which way I was writing it, yx. But with a distributional source position at x. And now the boundary condition for the Neumann problem is must still satisfy this type of equation. So here we get a, well, 4 pi, we replace it by delta. And so here we get a 1. Oops, so here there is a minus. So and so what we want here is something that integrates to 1. What is the simplest function that integrates to 1? Well, is 1 divided by the volume, or the area, well, let's call it the area, of the boundary. So the easiest option is to take it constant. It could be something else, but the easiest option is to take it constant. We will see why this is a convenient choice. In R and R. Does it make sense that I have to do? I need to put something, because I look at this equation for, I replace phi with my g. I do the same thing, and instead of rho, I have delta, which gives 1. So I need something. The boundary conditions must integrate to 1. So this is 1 over the area, isn't it? Now, we can plug this into Green's theorem, so, or the Green's identity. So let me write it. Oh, here it is. So this is the integral in R of phi y nabla psi y is equal to the integral in R of psi y nabla phi y plus an integral on the boundary of s dot Psi y nabla psi y minus the opposite psi y gradient phi y. So this is Green's identity. And now if we plug in big phi equal little phi and big psi equal G Neumann yx, what do we obtain? Well, nabla of G is delta, so it gives us phi at x. So Green's identity becomes phi of x equal integral in R of, well, this is so integral in dy. This becomes g. So we have g yx nabla phi. Nabla phi is minus 4 pi. So we get, as usual, I forget to write it in the right place. Minus 4 pi integral in R of rho y g Neumann yx. So all integrals are in y. Plus, we get our boundary condition, which is the integral in partial R of what? Well, we get phi y times the boundary condition for the Green's function. So this becomes phi y divided by the area of PR minus, so we get the Green's function minus the boundary condition for phi, which is f minus f. So we get the plus the integral of f of y g Neumann yx. Now, what is this? We see that this is a constant in, this is a number, right? It's a constant. So this is the average value of phi at the boundary, and it's a constant. So this type of equation has solutions up to constants, because if I shift phi by a constant, nothing happens. So this term is basically irrelevant for to find a solution. So I can throw it out and nothing would happen, because phi is a solution if and only if phi x plus a constant is a solution. Therefore, this term doesn't really matter. If you're just trying to find a solution, fixing it to something is fixing this average. But it's we can choose whatever we want for this average. So this is the first part. So in a way, the result I gave was right, but for the wrong reasons. But in the end, this is the right way of doing it. Okay. Questions about this? The other thing I wanted to mention for the method of images. So this is about solving this type of equations. Well, we did it for the Dirichlet one. This is y in R and y in delta R. X is always inside. So, and here we get zero, again, y in R and y at the boundary. Okay. So, so we want to solve this. So in general, how do we solve a partial differential equation or a differential equation for that matter in general? Well, if it has sources like this one, what we need to do is to find a special solution for the equation with sources, and then we add an arbitrary solution with for the homogeneous equation, and then we tweak the parameters in the most general homogeneous solution to fix the boundary condition. So the general recipe is find a solution, a special solution for the part with sources which is in this case dy g dyx equal delta y minus x. And in this case, this is given by 1 over y minus x. Now, I suppose there is a 4 pi involved. In this case. This I forgot to check. I think there is a 4 pi. Okay. So we have this. And so this is a special solution. So maybe I shouldn't call it G. Well, it's a Green function, but it's not the one for the Dirichlet condition. Is a special Green G0. Maybe G0 is a good name. So we find one solution. And then we look for a solution of the homogeneous equation . So what do we look for? We look for something f of yx equals 0 such that gd can be written as our g0 plus f. So this will not change the part we like about it, but we are trying to fix the boundary condition so such that this quantity satisfies the boundary condition. What the method of images buys us is a way to construct this f. So it tells that in special cases, if you're lucky enough, this f is not too crazy. It's just the sum of a bunch of these for x sitting outside of the region. Because this will guarantee that this is true in R, which is where we care. where do we care about it, and that's it. So let's write this down, and then so if you're lucky, it does. If the shape of R is simple enough, we can build Fyx as the sum over a bunch of points alphas of G zeros, Yx alphas, such that with X alpha outside, well, let's say in R3, it's in the complement, right? So that we know that we will still satisfy that the Laplacian of these in the region will still be zero. So these are, so with certain coefficients in front, image charges, and these are the image charges position, and this is the image charges charge. So they might also have different charges depending. So it's a way, it's an ansatz if you want to try to solve these, and you usually can do it if the region has a nice shape, you can try to guess the solution. But I think this is a better way to present it. Okay. Questions about these or anything I did yesterday? Okay. So we shall then move on to the wave equation. So and we said that yesterday we argued that the right way to think about, well, to try to look for a solution of this equation is to fix boundary conditions at a given time all over R for both phi and its time derivative. So these are initial conditions. And this is my bulk equation. So the picture is I have two copies of R3. And there is time over here. This happens at time one, and this is happening at time zero. So I can do either initial condition, or I could also do final condition where T0 is replaced by T1. So we saw exactly this type of questions when solving the particle dynamics. Instead of fixing, the action principle wants you to fix phi at both surfaces. However, at both hypersurfaces. However, if you want uniqueness and solution of your equations of motion, what you really have to do is to fix phi and its velocity at the initial surface, or at the final one. So today, we are going to show, using the Green's function method, how to construct the solution at fixed rho, phi naught, and pi naught. So this is the goal for today. Goal, use Green's functions to write down solution of as integrals of phi naught of rho, phi naught, and pi naught. So in a very similar manner as this equation here, where we write phi x in terms of rho, and the boundary condition here is just the same. So for this, let me write down the analog of this Green's identity for the region M. And instead of the Laplace operator, we want to use the box operator, the wave operator. So so here we're integrating over M. We put the box, we have psi, and then it's just the same because this is only about integrations by parts. So we need to be slightly careful about what we write here. So this is an integral over R3, but at time t1. So at time t1, what is the normal derivative? This is the derivative in time. So this will be phi y. Let's write it like this. T naught, T1, y arrow, so the vector part, times dt of psi y t1. So let's maybe a t evaluated at t1 minus the opposite so the derivative acts on both. So sometimes you will find this symbol to say when it acts to the right minus what happens when it acts to the left. But just to warn you that this can happen, but let's write it explicitly. So this is t dt phi y t, and again evaluated at t1. And then we have the other boundary. So what happens at this other boundary? So plus the integral over R3 at t0 now. So we have the same expression, except that now the outgoing normal at the boundary t0 will be minus the time derivative. So there will be a minus in front of the same expression. So I will write in a moment where that comes from. So this is, so essentially what we're saying is that this is evaluated at t1 minus the same thing evaluated at t0. So it's a bit easier to write it like that. So is this equation integrated over R3, so over y, and with t evaluated at t1 minus the same quantity evaluated at t0. And this is due to the fact that the two time boundaries have opposite orientations. So in a way here we have way many more terms than in there, like at face value. So what we need, if you're fixing only boundary conditions, and we are replacing as before the trick to say, oh, our phi is little phi, and psi will be some Green's function. What we want is that our Green's function kills either what is happening at T1 or what is happening at T0, depending whether we're choosing final or initial conditions. So so what we want is that G is actually zero, let's say, if you're looking at the case of initial condition, because of, like, for definiteness otherwise. So let's focus once and for all on the initial conditions. So initial value problem, let's see. In this case, we want G to be zero at the boundary with T1 and something at T0, right? So that we can get rid of whatever phi becomes in the future, and we just have to put conditions in the past. Does this make sense? I'm not saying why this is possible. I'm just trying to motivate what kind of Green's function we will look at now.
Why do you want it to vanish at T1?
So if these are the good boundary conditions, yeah. I want, now I replace little phi, big phi by little phi, as I did there. So I find phi times box of the Green's function, which will give me a delta. This is phi at x. And now I have a bulk integral with rho over here, and I'm happy. What do I find as the boundary conditions? Here I will find the mix of what happens to phi in the future, at the future boundary, and at the past boundary.
Yeah.
But this must depend only on what is happening at the future boundary, at the past boundary.
Yep.
So I want G to be, not just G, in fact, but G and its time derivative to be zero in the future. But let's say at least G to be zero at the future boundary and be whatever it needs to be at the past boundary. So the right choice for this
that if you choose to use final conditions for the instead of initial conditions, mm-hmm. then will we swap the?
Yes. Yes. So. So for the initial boundary value problem, the type of Green's functions we want is the following: dy, g, r, y, x is equal to delta 4 y minus x for, this is the usual in M. So this is the usual equation for a Green's function that we cannot, is the basic thing. Now we have to put the boundary, to give the boundary conditions. Here the boundary conditions are given in a slightly different fashion. And G, R, Y, X. And now it gets a little bit confusing. If why not? Is larger than x0. Okay, so let's see if this, and R stand for retarded. as opposed to advanced, that which is what we get for the final value problem. Boundary, well, final boundary value problem, which is d g advanced yx is also equal to a delta function. This we can't get rid of. And then we say that this is zero anytime that y naught is less than x naught, where this is time. This is the time coordinate. So I'm using here a relativistic notation. So why this is correct? Because when y naught is on the future boundary, so t1, we will indeed get that both are zero, because we get that any time y is in the future of x, so we get that the Green's function vanishes identically. So in particular, its value and its time derivative will be zero. So this checks what we wanted in there. So in this case, we plug in Green's identity, and we find that phi of x is equal at x and t is equal to the integral, again, minus 4 pi, the integral over m of rho y gyx. Well, maybe I can write it in a covariant formulas, plus the integral where? So this is the integral on R3, but at time t0 of pi 0 y gr yx. Well, let's write it in this mixed form now, yx minus phi naught d over dt, or of gr . So this is the derivative. This is y naught. Maybe it's better to call it y naught. And then we evaluate y naught at t0 and x. Similarly here, but with t0 replaced by t1 and the sign swap.
Differentiating this
with
two here?
Why not? Yeah, it's the time component. So, this is integrating with respect to that.
And then you
and then evaluate it at the initial time.
You're also using phi naught y, that's phi of t naught y, right?
No, this phi naught here is just a function of space. So there's no time in this straight phi is the initial condition.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I'm making this difference because I don't know how to call things, but that's the initial condition. So this straight phi is the analog of this pi. So these are the so this is the bulk source. These are the initial conditions. And only the initial time appears. So now we want to show that we can indeed build such a Green's function. This is, for now, I'm just telling you that this is what you should want, but I'm not telling you that you can solve for that. So the next goal is to actually compute such a Green's function. So for simplicity, I will do the following change of name. So these Green's functions always depend on the difference because the problem is translation invariant, so they cannot depend on y and x separately, but they depend on y minus x. So let me call this d of r, where r mu is x mu minus y mu. So I will try to formulate things in terms of this d of r. So this is a notation used, for example, in Weinberg. So I'm copying his notation, and hopefully it's the same as Gang will use in QFT. Now, let's start from the bulk part of this equation. Which is dy gyx equal yx. So how do we deal with this? Well, this is the same as saying that, let's see, box of dr is equal to d4 of r. And now these we can solve by doing a Fourier transform. So in Fourier, we have that dr is equal to the integral over d4k e to dk mu r mu of some dk. And this vice versa. This dk is 1 over 2 pi to the 4th d4r e to the minus ik mu r mu dr. So this is how to write this in Fourier transform. And if we write this equation in Fourier transform, what do we get? We get that that equation will be if and only if d hat k is equal to minus 1 over 2 pi to the 4th, 1 over k mu. So okay, let's see. Let's do a quick proof of this fact. Proof. We take, for example, this definition of dk. Well, let's see how to. No, let's start from this one. So I write d box r is equal to, I know, which way is the fastest? Well, shouldn't matter. So this is d4r, and this is also the integral. So the only r dependence is in here of d4k minus k mu. So this is, if you want, ik mu of ik mu r mu d hat of k. And if you want to get a delta, you need these two to give one. And therefore, you get that result. Well, you get, this of 1 over 2 pi to the 4th. Because the fundamental identity is this one, that e to the k mu r mu is equal this is the identity that one uses, and then you notice that if you take the box of this equation, the only way to make it work is that dk times minus k squared gives you 1 over 2 pi to the fourth. Okay, so now we want to, if we have this, we say, oh, we are done. We just need to reintegrate dr, therefore is equal to the integral in d4k e to the k mu r mu, 1 over 2 pi to the fourth, and I don't know why I'm missing a yes.
I think I missed what you said, but where did the ik mu and ik mu come from in the first line?
Okay. So here, these two?
Yeah.
Is the box. So the box, so here what I'm using is that d mu e k mu r mu. Sorry. Maybe I should use a different new. Let's do it like this. New. So this is deriving by r mu, and so this will give I k mu times the same. And the box is the square of this operator, so you get ik mu twice. Yeah. So back to dr. Well, we say that dr is minus 1 2 pi to the fourth of d4k e to the chi mu r mu. And now with the minus, these signs, unfortunately, are important. And divided by k mu. So let's be a little bit more specific. So here we want to decompose our k mu. It has four components. Let's write it as an omega and a vector. So I just call it time k0. I give it a different name, omega, just to make it stand out. So this will be d omega d3k of e to the minus I. Well, let's see my conventions. Let's break it in two. So here we have e to the minus. Oh, no, I'm using. I'm afraid I switched inadvertently signature, which is annoying. So this here we get. I need to follow my notes, otherwise. So sorry about the signature. I'll try to fix it in the lecture notes, but. Let's do it like this. Let's put a minus over here. In any case, it doesn't matter. And then we want a plus here, a minus there. Okay. So, and now I get the right sign where I wanted. So this is this integral, d omega, and here we have e omega t, and omega squared minus k squared. So what did I do? I just wrote this d4k as the integral over d omega and d3k. And I wrote it into two pieces. And then I noticed that a part of this exponential just depends on the k. So I pulled it out. And I left the part that depends on omega. And now k mu is k squared minus omega squared, but there is a minus sign that they compensated and wrote it that way. So what is happening here, however, is that to actually do this integral, we need to be careful because there are zeros here, So, and this integral goes straight through the zeros. So we need to say what to do around these divergences of the integrand. So although naively this is the solution, but this is the naive solution in a sense. We will give a better the full answer at the end, and it has to do with how we deal with this problem. So let's do a little drawing. So here we are doing an integral in omega. So we focus on the last integral in there. And since omega squared minus k squared is equal to omega minus k plus omega plus k, what we have is that there are two poles, one at plus k and one is minus k. Where when I say k, I mean the norm of the three vector. And this is the complex omega, so this is the real part of omega, and this is the imaginary part of omega. So the question is, our integral is coming in like this, and what do we do around these poles? So my claim is that if we want to find the retarded Green function, what we need to do is to go above these poles, avoid them going upwards. But if you go downwards, you will find the advanced. And if you slalom through them, you would find the Feynman Green's function. So let's start from the retarded one, and I just so this is just a prescription for now. We are just exploring what happens if we take this prescription. Above the poles. The answer, I give away the answer, which is we get the retarded potential, but this is what we're going to prove right now. So if we go above the poles, how do we go about doing this? So let me call this integration contour gamma with an arrow up. So we remember this is going above the poles. Okay? So this is contour gamma above. So here I'm integrating this above is my green line there. What I want to compute is now which signs do I have? I omega t omega square minus k square. Now we see that usually the way to compute these integrals is to reduce them to the computation of the residues at the poles. Now, to do so, we need a closed contour. And the question is whether we should close this contour at infinity above or below. How do we decide which way to go? Well, we need to know which one of these two contours does not contribute to the integral. So there is one which is suppressed and one which is enhanced. So, and this depends on the sign of t. Why does it depend on the sign of t? Well, let's see. Let's say that I pick t larger than 0. Then e to the minus I omega t goes exponentially fast to zero if let's start from the opposite one. T smaller than zero. If the imaginary part of omega is zero. Sorry, is positive. Is positive. Right? So let's see. If T is negative and the imaginary part of omega is positive, this will be negative. It's a bit mind-bending, but that's because positive with this becomes it is the way it is. So if it means that we can then close this contour from above. Therefore, we can close contour in upper plane, upper half plane. So what does it mean? It means that my contour will be this one I have. And then I can close it here. And this purple, the purple bit will not contribute. So I can do it for free and say that my integral over here, so let's call it I will be equal to the integral over the closed contour of the same quantity. Which is zero because it contains no poles. So we immediately find that for t less than zero, the value of this integral with this prescription will be zero. Vice versa, if t is positive, what we need to do to close our contour is to close it in the lower half plane. And again, this will not contribute. And now I will be given by the following. So we get minus 2 pi I. The minus is because we're going clockwise. The sum of the residues. So let me write it like this. Sum of the residues of this. Before I compute this, is everybody on the same, are we on the same page? Are you I hope you're familiar with these complex integrals. So the key point is that there is a qualitative difference between t positive and t negative, and this is because of this Fourier integral over here, which dictates which side we need to close the, we can close the contour, and then in one case it will enclose the poles and encircle the pole, and in the other will not. Yes.
Then it matters how you define, because you said in the beginning it doesn't matter if the forward or the backward Fourier transform is minus. But if you had defined it the first way, then we would have had.
Well, it matters, but it's also flipping the role of y and x because it's changing the sign of r. So in the end, it will be. So I will get there at the end. I will give you a relationship that will answer to your question. Okay, so now we can actually do this computation fully, and it turns out that this is minus 2 pi sine of kt divided by norm of k. So you have two poles. Each pole will contribute something that looks like, well, which is omega here, right? So suppose that we're looking at this pole. So this term goes to zero, so we ignore it. Here we get two norm of k at the denominator from that residues, and then we get an exponential. Now, if you combine the two, we get a sine and then a k at the denominator. So it's just a two-line, there are two steps. But since I will get all the signs wrong at the blackboard, I'm not doing them. But it's a very simple, computation from that. So remember that this is when t is positive. So if we want to put everything together, what we get. I still have to do the last integral in k. But before doing that, let me put everything together, because at least we've done the integral in omega, so I can. So this define dr of so this will be the one given by my above the pole prescription is minus theta of t. And I will say in a second what that is. Integral in d3k e to the ikr sine of kt over. So what is this theta? Theta of t is called the Navicide function. So this, or a step function. This is 1 if t is larger than 0, and 0 if t is less than 0. Now, I define it with that at 0 is equal to 0, but sometimes there are different prescriptions also for what happens at 0. But this is fine for us. So this is just telling us that for t negative, this must vanish. And for t positive, what we get is that integral over there, which I've just recombined with our integral over k the vector k. Now to do this, we do the following. It's quite nice that we can do this integral exactly. So we can do this with the following trick. So we align our spherical coordinates for k along r. So how do we do this? Well, we say that k is equal to kappa, theta, and psi, for example. So where psi goes from 0 to 2 pi, theta goes from 0 to pi, and kappa is positive. So this is the norm, and then we have the two spherical angles. And by construction, since r is fixed in this integral, we're not changing r. We can choose it as our reference. And this is kappa r. Cos theta, I believe. Yes. Oh, let's call it rho. So rho, where where rho is just the norm of r. So kappa and rho are the norms of k and r. So if I do this change of variables, I find that this is equal to minus theta t over 2 pi cube. And here we need, well, we write this in spherical coordinates. So this is the integral over kappa, the integral over theta and psi. And then we have cos theta. We have, sine theta. Why? I don't know why I said cos. Sine theta, and we have e to the I kappa rho cos theta. Oh, sorry. So kappa square sine theta, and then we have at the denominator another So here I'm also skipping a step. Here there is a kappa, that's fine. I'm just not writing everything. Okay. So I was just missing a piece, but it was just being blind. So we have the integral over kappa, which goes from 0 to infinity, over theta between 0 to pi, and psi 0 to 2 pi. This is the measure, like d3k. It comes from converting this in spherical coordinate. Then we have, I should have written this as sine kappa t over kappa. So we have then the Fourier term, which is just kappa rho cos theta. And then we have our integrand, sine kappa t divided by k, by kappa. Okay. So now this we can do for free because nothing depends on psi. It just gives us a factor of 2 pi. So this we get easy. Now what we can do magically is this d theta, because we have a sine theta and a cos theta the exponent, so we can do it. So usually that's a hard one, but this time around it works just fine. And notice that this depends on the fact that we're in three dimensions. So if we change dimensionality, this integral will look different because this measure will look different. So what we're doing is valid in 3D. or let's say 1 plus d equal 4, which is a bit more. Okay, so now we do integral in theta. And what we find is, well, we get a plus. I don't expect you to follow all the details. You have to do them by yourself. But I just want to emphasize the logic. So there is a kappa and a kappa, so this becomes just kappa. I'm doing the integral in, so then I have the sine. And here, this integral will give me e to the minus kappa rho minus e to the I kappa rho divided by I kappa rho, which comes from evaluating these at cos at pi and at 0, so we get plus and minus 1. And we then, the denominators come from the integrating these, so it brings these down. So magically, we also see that the kappas go away. The rho, we don't care. It's outside, but it's inside, but there's no integral in it. So we can pull it out. And the sine is also a combination of exponentials. So we are in the ideal situation because we have to integrate over kappa. And we are integrating products of exponentials, so linear in kappa, so it's easy. The only thing that is not ideal is the fact that we're integrating from 0 to infinity and not to from minus infinity to infinity. But if you look at how switching the sine of kappa would contribute, you realize that this is just, so you can extend it to minus infinity and divide by 2. So the negative part will contribute the same as the positive part. So you can just rewrite this as minus t over, so this would be 4 pi squared. So let me write it like this, maybe. And here we get an 8 because we are extending this to, so this 8 is related to us extending the integral from minus infinity to infinity. So we are changing this. Then we get d kappa e to the I kappa t minus kappa t I to this minus I kappa rho. So if you want, another way of thinking about this is that this is the contribution for kappa positive and this is the contribution for kappa negative. And then you split it in two. So if you do if you do it quietly, you will get convinced that this is correct. Now, what happens is that we get delta functions. Delta functions between t. So this is a priori minus 1 over 4 pi rho theta t. Well, let me write it up here. And then we get two delta functions. One is the delta function t minus rho. And then we have a delta function, which is t plus rho. However, remember, rho is positive, and t is also positive. So this one will not contribute. So we are left with only one contribution. And therefore, we have that dr tr is equal to minus 1 over 2 pi. Ah, no, sorry. Let me write it like this. 4 pi r theta t delta t minus r. So this is our grandiose result of today's computation. The only reason why what is this telling us? We will analyze it in a moment. This is basically telling that, well, this has support in the future and along the light cone, because we want T and R. T should grow as fast as R, so this is a CT in reality. So this is like the S support on an alcon is where centered at the origin. So by looking at it, we see that this this part looks relativistically covariant. This part looks a bit less. It's a bit unclear why this should be. So the question is, can we write this in a fully in manifestly relativistic invariant fashion? And the reason, and the answer is yes. And I maybe should have. So this can also be written as minus 1 over 2 pi theta t delta r mu r mu. So you can get convinced that this is correct. And essentially, this is quadratic. So delta of a function, well, I will not do it. But it's in the notes that are the details. But just because I want to continue. But here I just want to say that there is a nice way to write it in a way that is manifestly relativistically invariant. You might wonder about the T, because T is not a relativistic, is not invariant under a from a relativistic perspective. But if you look, if you now draw the picture, it will become clear that the combination is Lorentz invariant, as it should, because we started from something that was written in a Lorentz invariant way. So let's see what this looks like. So if this is R mu, so we get R naught and R. This is the origin. So this has a support on the future null cone. This is the support of dr is on future light cone. So this is a perfectly relativistically invariant notion. If I had done the below the pole prescription, taking the below the pole prescription, things would have worked essentially the same, but for the past null cone. Now, what is this 1 over r? Well, 1 over r is the distance. So this will decrease in a 1 over r fashion. In this manner. So it's like, in a way, it's a Coulombic potential, but that reaches you only at a later time. So you will not see it immediately if you're at the distance. You will see it after light has reached you, but it will decrease as 1 over r. So we can now use this, now that we have this Green's function, to solve our initial problem, which was the wave equation for phi. And in particular, we can we can compute the electromagnetic potential of a point particle moving in space-time. But I'm not sure. I don't think I have the time to do that. I will not answer your question, Marco, but I think this is, we can discuss it later. I would rather move to giving this solution of the Linear Vicar potential using this So here the question is, remember we had this equation. In Lorentz gauge, but I will not, I'm saying it, but I will not write it. So we want to solve for a mu sourced by J. And in particular, we want to look at the case where J is given by a point charge. So this will be Q times, let me write it, and then we comment on what why this is correct. So what is this integral? We say that the current has support on the trajectory of the particle, and we'll have a direction in space-time, so the velocity given by the four velocity of the particle. So if we look at, this is like saying that that's it. I don't think I can say it any easier. So if you pick, for example, time. So if you go in a certain frame and you replace lambda with t, you can look at J is equal to q times the integral in dt prime of so this would be vi. Well, v times delta 4 x minus gamma t. So this says again that this is q times v, so it's the velocity, is the charge times the velocity of the particle at every possible point in space-time at which the particle finds itself and is concentrated there. So this is the relativistic version of that. And so if you write this in terms of proper time, this becomes d tau of u mu delta 4 gamma tau. Now what we want is to solve for a. And here we have the choice of choosing whichever Green's functions we like. If we want to give the solution in terms of initial conditions, we will use the retarded potential. And I will comment on these choices next time. But for now, let's just define AR of mu equal minus 4 pi d4xy, sorry. We always integrate in y, and this is at x, of j mu y gr yx. So now it's just a matter of replacing everything we found and computing these integrals. So, and since we have delta functions, we hope that this will be doable. So this Green's function over here is dr of x minus y. And then we have g mu of y. So we replace the expression for dr, which was this 8 over pi square, 1 over 8 pi square, et cetera, et cetera. So we get 1 over 2 pi and so on. So we get the 2 d4 y theta So theta is the time component of this vector, so it will be x naught minus y naught. So you see we'll have support when x is larger than y. So when we are in the future, so the current will influence the potential in the future, not in the past. This is the retarded choice. Delta x minus y square j mu of y. So here I'm using the covariant version. Covariant version of dr. Not version, but writing, like expression. Covariant expression of dr. So let's, now I replace j. So here I replace j. And this will be 2q d tau. So since j has a delta function with x, well, which now is y, I can just integrate in y for free. And I just get an integral over d tau of theta x naught minus gamma naught tau delta of x minus gamma tau square u mu at time tau. So replace j and integrate d4y of delta 4 y minus gamma. So this is what has happened here. Okay, so what this is telling us is that at x, we'll get a contribution which is only given by the past, what happens in the past of this point, and along the light cone. So at the point that on the trajectory gamma tau that matters, here I'm integrating over the trajectory of the particle, is the one that is light-like separated from the point of observation. So let's do a drawing. So as usual, this is x, this is t, so x naught, if you want. So here I have my point x of interest. This is the point of observation. In the sense that is the one at which IR is computed. And then there is the light cone, like that. And somewhere in space-time, we have the particle's trajectory, which is time-like. So this is gamma mu. So as we can see, it's not very hard to convince yourself that there is only one point in the past light cone that where the light cone, which is described by this equation. So this is the equation for, so this is the select the only point at which the past light cone of x intercepts our trajectory. So there is only one such point. I call it is the one that happens at time, at proper time, TRX, tau RX. I give it a name. If there's just one of them, I give it a name. So at tau equal, there is, over here there will be the advanced option, right? So I could do the same story for the advanced potential. This will be influenced by what is will happen in the future, in a sense. And there is, again, one only solution, et cetera, et cetera. But so here we're looking at the one from the past. And okay, I'm running a little out of time. So what I need to do next, now that I know where this is happening, I have the only solution. So this happens at gamma mu tau rx. I have the solution. What I need to do is to replace this delta function that is nicely written for x for a delta function that is nicely written for tau, because this is where we're integrating. So there is a general formula to do this. So we know that delta of f of x is equal to 1 over, well, is delta of x minus x naught divided by f prime of x naught if f of x has a unique zero at x naught. So by using this formula, and we have a unique zero, we can replace this as a function of tau with a delta that has let me write it. This will be delta of tau minus tau rx divided by 2 x mu minus gamma mu tau rx times, here we put the derivative, so this is this f prime of this argument. So it's 2 times the argument times the derivative of the argument, which is gamma dot mu at tau rx. So we conclude, and I will so what is nice is that these can also be further simplified. So you can go to, So this is a different, I should change index name. So you can, for example, so since this is on the light cone, its time component is the same magnitude as the norm of the space component, which is 1 over r. So we have that this is light-like, and of the form r, where r is the distance. So there is a way to simplify these using this fact, and you can write these as q u mu, phi. So that the zero component is just q over 1 minus v dot n times r at the retarded time, like same thing here. And a retarded, so this is phi retarded at x, is the same thing with 1 minus v n r. So I went a little bit fast. This n is the direction of r. So we can write this as n, but the details are also in the notes. So I wanted to get here because you will start from these equations in the homework. So I wanted to kind of speed through a little bit. But it's the idea of these formulas beside the details of this coefficient is the important one, is this that thinks that phi has a 1 over r dependence, essentially, but with respect to not where the particle is at that given time, but where it used to be in the past at the time that it would have taken for a light ray to get to that point. So whichever information reaches you here is not, has not left instantly, so you don't see things instantaneously at 1 over r, but you see it where they used to be in a null distance away, a light-like direction away. OK, so I need to wrap up. But I will start again from here. But so if there are, it's a lot to digest, I understand. So we can restart more slowly, but at least you know for the homework what to look at.